Well, we have so enjoyed the Holy Spirit conference with you, and what a church you are. And meeting Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just getting ready for the conference. And then all the meetings that we've had thus far and the setup and the pack up. Hey, we pioneered a church, and I know what set up and pack up is, but to do it a different place every time you have a meeting, that's just extreme. You guys just taking this to a whole new level. So good on you, church. And the meetings have been well attended, and just I pray that truly the Lord's doing a good work in your lives. When I was here 2 weeks ago, and we were preparing, getting ready to come back, I said to Pastor Craig, what do you feel? What is your lean-in for the Holy Spirit conference? Could you tell me an area that I could strengthen the church, that I could perhaps bring a teaching that would help people? Where do you think people would really love to hear some teaching in? And he said, how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. How to know, is it God speaking, or is that something else, or pizza that I had gave me a bad dream, or a big good dream, or I don't know. You know, how do I know God is speaking to me? In what ways does God speak to me as well? So I thought, okay, that's my task. I love to go to it. So I've prepared some thoughts for you today, and I pray that they'll be a blessing to you. And obviously, it's not a all-encompassing teaching. There's so much more that we could learn, but it's a good place to start. And I pray that the Lord will put us on a good foundation of his word. We can trust his word to lead us, to help us, to show us how to live, how to negotiate life well. And one of the things we do understand from God's word is that God actually does want to speak to us, that he has a voice that can be heard and recognized by those that are tuned in to his Holy Spirit. And if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ and you know the Lord as your Savior, then his Holy Spirit lives within you. And because he lives within you, he wants to speak to you. He wants to show you things. He has so much he wants to tell you. We find in Isaiah 30, verse 21, your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. Your own ears, not usually your natural ears, but your ears inside of you, that knowing, that those spiritual ears, your own ears. God will speak to you personally. Sometimes he uses other people, but he will and can, and we should expect him to usually be speaking to us, directly to us. We have a direct line of communication with the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we just have to learn how to get in tune with that and understand that that's his voice. He speaks to us. He continually speaks to us. God has a word for you about the most important areas of your life, the things that concern you, your innermost thoughts, the desires of your heart. He'll give you specific wisdom on how you're supposed to negotiate your life, how you're to raise your kids, how you're to do relationships really well. He'll speak to you about your health and your well-being. He'll tell you words of comfort and sorrow and your need. He'll correct you when you need it, if you're listening. Some of us don't like to listen to those. Well, that can't be God. He'll show you how to be generous, who you're supposed to help. Well, you'll get a nudge from the Holy Spirit, and he'll say, help that person. He'll show you. He's going to show you words not just only for yourself, but for other people as well sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes he wants you to bring an encouragement to someone, as Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 lines out for us. The Lord has given me the tongue of those who are instructed to know how to sustain the weary with a word. He awakens me each morning. He awakens my heart to listen like those being instructed. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? That's one of my favorite scriptures. Whenever I'm teaching, oh, that's my favorite scripture. Well, that's my other favorite. This one's one of my favorite scripture. And have you ever had that experience? You just wake up and someone's on your heart, you know, and you start to pray for them. And then before you know it, you think, I think maybe I should give them a phone call today. And as you call them or send them a text or something, you sense the Holy Spirit say this to them or tell them that or give them this encouraging scripture. That, oh, we are to be people of the Spirit. We are born again into the spiritual realm of life. Our spirits are awake to God through the new birth in Jesus Christ. And so it should be the norm, even though it's supernatural, it's above the natural. We're not just confined to the things of time and space. We are in touch with the Holy Spirit himself. He lives in us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to speak through us as well. So we not only hear the voice of the Lord for ourselves, but for those around us. And so if we've established that we know that God wants to say something to us, how can we hear him better? That's the goal. How are we to hear him better? Romans 8, verse 14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." So as children of God, that's the expectation, to be led, to be, and he leads us by his voice, right? Okay, and we'll lead into the next scripture, which really illustrates that. And my first point is, we need to learn to listen for his voice in his word. Okay, that's the first place. That's the chief place that we can always know with certainty that God is going to speak to us. And we actually learn to recognize his voice by knowing his word. We hear his voice in his word. It gets us familiar. This is how God talks. This is God's nature. This is how this is the mind of the Lord. So when we're in his word, John 10, verse 4, and again verse 15 says, "When he has brought his own sheep outside, he walks on before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." And verse 15, "Even as truly as the Father knows me, and I also know the Father, I am giving my very own life and laying it down on behalf of the sheep." So the sheep know his voice. I think that's a phenomena in the natural realm, where a shepherd will call the sheep and they actually recognize his voice. How much more should we be sensitive as sons and daughters of God who have been born again of the Spirit to know his voice? That's God. I hear the Holy Spirit. That's not my voice. I didn't just make that up. I think I'm hearing the Lord speak. I'm going to follow that. See, that's how we're supposed to be and live our life. And we will hear primarily through the Word of God. That's why we need to read it. You know, it's simple, and we say it all the time, but sometimes we do neglect it. And I would have to say, me too? Oh, no, you're pastor from Sydney. You know, sometimes I do. You get busy, you get distracted, you get short time schedule, you get early morning starts, you have stuff that goes, oh, I really haven't been enough in the Word. And you can feel it, can't you? You can really feel it when there's that lack in there. And so that's the primary way that we're going to hear. Some people feel, unless they've had a prophetic word and somebody said, "I've got a word from the Lord for you," that they haven't heard from God. And they kind of go around going, "Oh, God, I haven't had a word in so long." How long has it been since you read the Word of God? Because this is where you're going to get a good word every day. God will speak to you, because you know what the scriptures say. The Word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's alive. It's powerful. It's alive. It's powerful. And every day as we read God's word, his voice is in his word. And we learn to know his voice through the word. His word is his will. And we honor him by immersing ourselves in there frequently. There's always the obvious truth that is applicable to all of us, that we know that the scripture says for everyone. But then there will be times when you'll read the scripture and something will just lift off the page. Do you know what I mean? And you go, "I've never seen that before. I've read that chapter how many times? I've never seen that before." God is speaking to you. And you're getting some insight. You're getting some revelation. You're probably getting some direction, sometimes some correction. Something that you need to hear. So how long do you need to read the Word of God until he speaks to you? You know, and I've had those seasons where it's just dry, you know. I'm just reading it really honestly out of a sense of duty. But you just keep on doing that, because that is just still good to do. Even in those seasons where it seems like, I don't know if God's speaking to me. You know, Carol said on Sunday, he'd be speaking to me. Every time I open the book, he should speak to me. I'm just reading this and I'm falling asleep. Maybe another time of day would be good to read it. I'm not sure. But just keep on. Don't give up. Please persevere. Sometimes another translation, Like maybe if you've been using maybe one of the older translations, try a different one, something that's a little bit more fresh and that you can understand well. I often find that that's also a blessing to do that. So we want to be daily in the Word of God and approach the Word of God with the expectation that God will speak to me. He wants to speak to me. He will speak to me. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 says, "He humbled you by letting you go hungry. Then he gave you manna to eat, which you and your fathers had not known, so that you might learn that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." That's what we live on, the Word of God, every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So we need to consider that when we read the Word of God. Don't be tempted to try to make it say something it doesn't say. You know, I'm a big believer in looking at the Word in context, but also realize that he will say something to you personally, and sometimes it will be just a little bit different than what you're reading on the page. And can I also say, Jesus said, "My sheep follow. They listen to my voice and they follow." So when we hear the Lord speak to us in his word, we need to follow. Another word for that is obey. And obedience is very key to growing and being established in the Lord, that what you hear him speak, you obey. And because when you do obey what God speaks to you, that will result in more revelation. If we don't obey what he speaks to us, we stay stagnant. We stay stuck in the same place. And we go, "I don't know why God's not speaking to me. I don't know why things aren't working out. I try. Have you obeyed? We might try. But have you obeyed? As he said, "No, you need to start doing that. Or you need to stop doing that. Or you need to go and do this thing. Or you need to change that thing." And we need to listen to what he says, because obedience will allow more revelation to happen to us. And I just want to explain that to you by a well-known passage. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And then listen to this phrase carefully. "So that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." So the transformed person, the person who is renewed in their mind by the Word of God, is the person who now is alert to the things of the Spirit, sensitive to spiritual things, because we're not thinking naturally, we're thinking with the mind of the Spirit. Our hearts are after spiritual things. We're in tune with the Lord. And so when we do, then he says, "So that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." You will hear God better when we are conformed and renewed in our mind, conformed to him, not conformed to this age. So that's powerful. That's very powerful. And the Word of God is very powerful for us to hear his voice. The second way that we learn to listen to the voice of the Lord or hear his voice is in prayer. Okay, you know, you're not teaching us anything new. We know about the Word of God. I'm supposed to read the Bible. I'm supposed to pray. That's what Christians do. But do we really appreciate this? Do we really, can we expand our hearts a little bit more and see something fresh here for our lives? So when we talk to God in prayer and he talks to us, then we learn to hear his voice. There's not an easy 1-2-3 formula, do this, this, and that, and you'll be able to hear. But we need to learn how to listen as much as we speak. We need to learn how to slow down. I think that is something that our modern rapid age has perhaps robbed us of, is that we don't slow down enough to pray. And you would think with all the conveniences and contraptions and things that we have to make our life easier, that we'd have more time. But how many would say, "I have less time"? I don't know why. I seem to have less time. And more things crowd into my life, and I don't know, do we just try to cram so much in? Or is it a matter of priorities in the midst of a busy life? Mark 6, verse 31 says, Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. We in our modern world don't seem to have that as a priority, to just rest and be quiet. I've been this year reading a little bit of some older Christian material, some of the you know, middle-aged contemplatives that had that kind of, you know, monks and people that had that kind of a place where they could, that's all they could, they needed to do is contemplate on the Lord. And then, well, that's not your everyday mother or working person, but they had a secret of something there that they could just, that I think is worth listening to. I mean, that's the way extreme, and none of us can do that. But we have to find some place where this is my half hour or whatever it is that I'm just still before the Lord and I just rest. And can I say, it's very tempting to use our electronic devices. A lot of people actually read the Bible on their phones or an iPad or something, and I think that's really good for traveling or if you're on the train or commuting or something like that. But it's nothing like a paper Bible, an actual printed Bible, and just a quiet place with a journal or something else, just old school tools that take all that kind of distraction, you know, because you're reading, text comes through. You're praying, text comes through. I better listen, I better look at that, you know, and it just grabs you. I know because I do that, and maybe you did too. So we're just being honest here. We need to find the way that we need, what we need to do so that we can actually listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And we come, of course, to this wonderful, familiar story in Luke chapter 10 of Martha and Mary. That's my other favorite one. I have some others, but this is another one of my, because I just, oh, I see myself in there, and I don't see myself in Mary. I see myself in Martha. Honestly, I do. Now it happened as they went, and he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Martha loved Jesus, no doubt. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You know, I look at that and I go, what is she doing? They've got a house full of people and a meal to prepare. And she's a woman in a Jewish culture. And she's sitting at his feet. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And I think it's interesting that they say she was distracted with much serving, because I would say, well, that's what she was supposed to be doing. She has guests. They've suddenly arrived. They're hungry. There's a meal to prepare. There's servants to tell this and that to do. And she was, the Bible says she was distracted. She was distracted. And what are you distracted with? What distracts you? And sometimes I'm actually distracted with much serving, because I'm a doer more than I am a be still kind of person. It's like, okay, that needs done. What can I do? I look around, I see what needs to be done. I just feel fulfilled doing that. But even those of us who love to do need to sometimes sit. We just do. So Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. We get distracted, we get worried, we get troubled about many things, and that just looms bigger and higher and more important, and this must be done. And if I try hard enough, and if I work hard enough, and if I do enough, if I do, if I do, if I do, if I do. But Jesus, in this instance, which just seems so unusual, but it is been there for 2,000 years, that truth has been ringing through the ages, that sometimes all of us, no matter how virtuous or how needed our work is, we need to stop and sit at his feet. And she was commended for that. Mary was, and it was so countercultural, and she was commended for that. So what's the point of this? We learn to hear his voice out of relationship. We don't just know about him, we know him. She sat at his feet. She heard his words. She placed herself, she positioned herself where she could hear him. I love Psalm 27, verse 8, that says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. I just love that version of the NLT. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. I actually have that as a little sticky note that I place in my journal. And I say that. I pray that. I've heard you say, come talk with me, Lord. So, Lord, I'm coming. Holy Spirit's drawing me. He's saying, come talk with me. Come spend some time. Come get quiet. Come be in my presence. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming. Amen. Maybe that will be your prayer as well. And prayer is a two-way conversation, isn't it? Have you ever had a friend that's so chatty? I know people like that in my life. I won't name names. But they chat and they talk so much, you think you're going to have a conversation, but actually you're just listening. Because the person doesn't draw breath long enough for you to do anything. You can't even insert a word. So all you do is sit and go, because you can't even say anything, can you? Do you know anybody like that? And you just try to be nice, but it's like, Jay. And then they finish up and say, oh, it's so good talking with you. No, you talked at me. I didn't talk with you. You talked at me. And sometimes we treat God like that because we know it's important to pray. And so we'll come to him and we'll talk to him about this and we'll say this and we'll pray this and we'll ask that and we do that, da, 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 and amen in Jesus' name. And then we didn't listen. And it's a two-way conversation. So this is really what prayer is supposed to be, is this. Yes, we come to him. He's told us to come to him. He's told us to pour out our heart to him. He's told us to ask and to seek and to knock and do all those things in prayer. We're invited to do that. We're welcome to do that. But at some point, we need to stop and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. What do you want to say to me? I'm listening. Speak, Lord. I am listening. 1 Samuel 3:10, that's what Eli instructed young Samuel. And he said, now the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. That's the heart that we want. That's the heart that's going to hear the voice of the Lord. Speak, for your servant hears. I'm listening, Lord. If you want to say something, I'm listening. And just be still long enough. Don't have a stopwatch out there going, okay, time's up. Just being honest. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 and 13. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So we learn to discern the voice of the Lord as we seek after him, as we search for him, as we say, Lord, I'm listening. I want to hear your voice. This requires humility, genuine humility. This requires us to put aside our agenda, because sometimes we'll hear something from the Holy Spirit that isn't exactly what we planned to hear. But the honest seeker will hear his voice, truly. So what does this voice sound like? Now, I don't know where everybody's at. I don't know if everyone knows the Lord. I don't know if you've had the experience of God speaking to you. Everything I'm saying might sound actually a little strange, like, yes, she hears voices. Well, we all hear voices, don't we? I mean, we do. We hear our own voice speaking in our heads sometimes. And to be put it in the simplest way, sometimes the voice of the Lord seems so clear that it seems like it's audible, but it's actually not. I'm hearing it. I know it's not my own voice, but it seems so clear. And when the Lord has spoken to me very strongly and specifically about things, it's like, I just heard God speak, you know, but it was in here. But it wasn't that little voice. You know what your voice sounds like in your head. Yeah. Sometimes you simply hear words in your mind. You'll just hear him speaking like that. Sometimes it's a strong impression about something. You just have a sense about something, and you start to pay attention. Your antennas go up. You're on alert, like, whoa, I need to be aware of that. Or sometimes just a single word you'll hear, and you'll hear it about 10 times in the same day and go, okay, somebody said this, and then so-and-so was talking about that, and then I picked up the newspaper, and I read that, and then when I read in the Word, I saw that, and it's like, okay, that same theme is coming through. Maybe the Holy Spirit's trying to say something to me, and you do that. Sometimes you will hear a phrase, just a certain phrase, or you'll hear a phrase of scripture, and it's just like a little, you know, just a part of a scripture, and like, what is that? Where's that in the Bible? And you start to look it up, and you go, oh, wow, there's something here for me, because he's just dropped just a little crumb, you know, for you to go, oh, I'm hungry, you know, I think I want that, I need to know more of that. So the Holy Spirit speaks like that. I see some heads nodding that you've experienced similar with that as well. You need to pay attention to those things. I want to share a little bit of an experience that we had and use it to illustrate the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and this sovereignly, first in our own hearts, but we felt like we needed a stronger confirmation. And this was when our church, back in 1995, Jack and I were approached by Pastor Gordon Gibbs, who was a longtime senior man in our area, and he had basically broken things open spiritually in Western Sydney suburbs, and he had established a church there in the late 1970s, right on the height of the charismatic renewal. He was a man with a marvelous supernatural ministry, signs and wonders, largely a healing ministry, evangelism, and he had established a church, and it was called the Penrith Christian Fellowship Center, and that church was well established in our city when we came in 1987. In fact, they have a school that we put our children in. All of our children went through that school. And so we had a relationship with Pastor Gordon Gibbs of honor, respect, and we knew him. And in 1995, in September 1995, he approached us, he approached Jack first primarily and said, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. Now, when a man of God like that says, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me, we go, okay. And he said, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me that we are to amalgamate our two churches and that you and Carol are to come on and become the senior leaders of the church. And Jack, they were having lunch. Jack just dropped his knife and his fork and he just said, excuse me, sir, could you repeat that? And he said, I have had a dream and a vision and the Lord has confirmed to my heart. And he repeated that. And so Jack said, sir, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. And so we began to go through this process of saying, is that what God's saying to us? God said that to him, but is God saying that to us? And so I'm going to finish the story up a little bit later as I close in this message. But we really needed to know that that was God. And we needed a strong confirmation. And so it seemed good to us. Seemed good to our senior pastor, Pastor Messer from America. That seemed good to him. We spoke to our board, and that seemed good to them. But we really needed to know that was God. We just still needed to know. We felt peaceful, but we also felt nervous. Huge responsibility. Huge responsibility to do that. And so we didn't answer straight away. We just couldn't. It was too big of a thing to do. So September went by. October went by. We went off to our state conference and thought, maybe, you know, we'll hear something. Something will be spoken, or maybe there will be some sort of prophetic, or there'll be something. Nothing. So it started to become an embarrassing long time that we had not answered Pastor Gibbs, this great man of God. So we're still praying about it. Still got to know if this is the Lord. And so we come to November. It's like the third week of November. And we were in Yuma, Arizona, at the church conference for the church that sent us here to Sydney. And there's a pastor there. His name is Dale Sexton. And wonderful, you know, Southern-style preacher, Texan, big guy. He just preached the house down. Just a joy to be in a meeting when a man of God preached like that. Love that. And he got up to preach. It's mission conference. He got up to preach. And he was just stumbling, and he was bumbling, and he was just... like, I'm looking at him going, what is wrong? Because, you know, I've heard him preach before, and this is just, like, not happening. He's just not getting it. And finally he stopped, and he said, look, he said, I cannot preach this word until I deliver a prophetic word. And we thought, okay, that's amazing. So we're ready for this prophetic word. And they said, Jack and Carol, come up here. And we went, okay. So we went up to the front, stood up there. And he said, I've got I've got two things to tell you. And he said, I'll tell you, I'm embarrassed, I'm uncomfortable. This is not how God usually says something to me, but he's told me a number and he's told me a scripture. And he told us, he said the number 37. And he said, does that mean something to you? And we said, yes, sir. Our eyes went really big, 37. Because that was, at that time, Pastor Gibbs, when he was telling us about the amalgamation and what the church owned in the way of property, he told us 37 acres. 37 acres of land. And so we said, yes, sir, that means something. And he said, and I have a scripture reference. And he said, I'm pretty sure that it's in the Bible, but I'm just going to tell it to you. And he said, it's 2 Samuel 7:10. And he said, but I don't know what it says, and you're going to have to go sit down and look it up. So we did. And we went back to our seats and opened up our Bibles, and it said, I will bring you to a place of your own, and you will move no more. And we had moved 9 times prior to that. And 9 times we had moved as a church, rented facilities, schools, neighborhood centers, leagues club. We had been everywhere, even in a circus tent at one point. And he said, I will bring you to a place of your own, and you shall move no more. And I still don't remember what Pastor Dale spoke on that day, because all I could do is just look at that scripture and say, yes, Lord, you have spoken to us. You have spoken to us. It was just that little fragment of a thought, but there was a word for us. And, you know, we can't demand that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, but we can invite him to speak to us. And as I mentioned, Luke 11:9, he says to ask and to seek, to knock, and it will be open to you. So we need to learn to hear his voice in prayer. We need to learn to discern his voice above all other voices. So there's 3 other voices, and I would even add a 4th. The first would be ourself. I think that's what we hear the most. And the second, I dare say, as believers, would be the voice of God. But sometimes we don't discern that it is the voice of God. And then there is the voice of the enemy, and he will speak things that to discourage us. And usually if it doesn't line up with the word of God, if it makes you feel condemned, if it makes you feel discouraged, that voice is not God. And that voice is probably not even you. That's the enemy. And so we don't listen to that voice. And the 4th possible voice is sometimes other people, you know. And if we listen to all the other voices, we end up getting confused. And so Proverbs 3 says to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So we need to test these voices with the word of God. Do they agree with God's word? Do they also agree with the nature of God as it's been revealed? Because we know his voice. We're his sheep. And then quickly, as we finish, and I know the time's moving on here, I want to talk to you about the objective and the subjective, okay? And maybe that's a term that's new to you, but I'll tell you this. I heard this years ago by a great man of God who taught this to me, and it was in meetings that were very much Holy Spirit-based, but he said, we need the objective truth, and we need the subjective truth as well, and both are absolutely essential, and one is not better than the other, but both are needed, and they are to be held in perfect tension together as believers. We have to keep both in our minds. So we're going to begin with the subjective, but let me give you a definition. Subjective truth means existing by perception or feeling. Existing by perception or feeling. I think I heard the Lord say to me, I feel that God is saying. That's subjective, isn't it? But does that make it wrong? Does that make it doubtful? It's subjective. It needs something to weigh up with. And we'll talk about the objective. But it is powerful. We had a prophetic word this morning. And it is powerful in our lives and essential in our lives that we move out. It's risky, isn't it? It's risky to go out and say, I think God said this. I think I'm hearing the voice of the Lord. There's some risk in that involved. But if we don't ever get like Peter walking out on the water when he says, Lord, is that you? If that's you, tell me to come. And sometimes we have to say, Lord, is that you? Is that you speaking to me? I'm going to step out a little bit more and say, is that you, Lord? Oh, I think I see you in that. think I hear you in that. We need to be willing to do that. Objective truth is impartial, unbiased, and not subject to anything. It's established. Okay, so I'll explain that to you. Think of it like in two columns, if you can, in your mind. So let's begin with these subjective sources of truth and revelation. Number one, that is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, as we're talking about and trying to understand. And this is the sacred birthright of all believers who are in Christ. Hebrews 8, 10 through 11 said, "But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, 'You should know the Lord,' for everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already." This is a sacred and precious truth that we as believers can hear God for ourselves. It doesn't have to come secondhand. It's great when we have teachers and preachers and prophets and others that can speak, and even dear friends and family members. But we can hear God for ourselves. And so that is a subjective thing, but we need to get better at it, don't we? So that we don't miss God in there. All right, and sometimes, you know, that's a little bit of a challenge, but if we truly seek to hear the Lord correctly, we'll hear the voice of the Lord. The second thing is the prophetic word, as I've just described to you, such as the word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a personal prophecy, as Brother Frank just gave this morning. Someone speaking as the mouthpiece for God, they say, "This is what the Lord says. I believe God is saying this to you." Well, that's a wonderful thing. And sometimes there will be a general prophetic word that's for the whole congregation, where God will address the whole congregation. We need the prophetic. We need to hear the voice of the Lord in our midst. We need to hear that. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said and hold on to what is good." And the third thing that is, I was trying to decide, is this objective or this is subjective? But I've put it, Pastor Craig, you can weigh that. I put it in the subjective column, okay? So we've got hearing the voice of the Lord. We've got prophetic voice of the Lord. And then the third thing, the peace of God in your heart. Okay, this is something we do sense. So that's why I've put that into the realm of feeling something. It's beyond actually feeling. It's beyond even reasoning. It comes when we've prayed something through. That's what the scripture says, that in Philippians 4, 6, that we don't worry about anything, but we pray about everything, tell God what you need. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So this is much more than saying, "Oh, I think I feel pretty good about that." It's like, "No, I have the peace of God." Or, "I don't have the peace of God." You know, sometimes it's like, it all seems right, makes sense in my head, but I don't have the peace of God on this. So I'm not going to move ahead on it because I don't yet have the peace of God. And boy, if you could say something pastorally, don't move ahead if you don't have the peace of God. Amen? All right, I've already gone over time, so I'll give this back. May I have your permission to try to wrap this up very quickly, and I'll just get through this, okay? Because I really feel like I can't leave you hanging, and I do apologize for being a little bit over there. So the peace of God, Colossians 3, 6, 15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." And rule means to umpire, to decide, to direct, to control. That peace of God is going to control what you do or not. Now let's move to the objective revelation, okay? So that is, number one, the scripture, all right? The word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, "All scripture is inspired by God, is useful to teach us what is true and what make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good word." So if you're looking to try to decide if this is God or not, then if this voice I'm hearing, is this consistent with the revealed word of God? Is this voice I'm hearing consistent with the revealed nature of God as I see him in his word. You know, people can say, oh, I think God's like this. I think God's like that. Oh, I don't think God would ever do this. I don't think God would ever think that. What does his word say? We got to know it. You know, we can't just go off on our opinion. And will this direction that you're feeling to get to do, will that bring glory to God through your life? And is this thought Christ-centered? Is Jesus at the center of it? Or is this sort of something like, I want to do this, really. This is kind of, I want to marry that guy. You know, many a girl's done that and been very, very sorry. Isaiah 55, verse 8, my thoughts, says the Lord, are not yours, and my ways are different from yours. So we need God's thoughts. The second thing there, an objective truth, is godly counsel and confirmation. Proverbs 11, 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The Jerusalem council that's recorded in Acts 15 was a time when the Gentiles were being saved. And now we've got this clash of cultures. And we've got people that are finding Christ, but they weren't Jews. And they were not circumcised. And they ate foods that they weren't supposed to eat. And all this kind of thing. And this became a real conflict. And so it finally came to the attention of the council. And they began to pray, and they needed to hear the voice of the Lord for themselves. And so they talked together about it. They discussed it. They had Peter in to tell what he had seen. They had Paul in to tell what he had seen of their work with the Gentiles. And they finally came to a conclusion in Acts 15, 28. It says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you than these few requirements. And so they made a decision as a collective group of leaders praying together, seeking to hear the voice of the Lord, and that counsel brought the will of God, and it was a good decision. Number three, God will work in circumstances, and sometimes those circumstances are confirming the will of God to your life. Sometimes you know it while you're in them, sometimes you know it after the fact. Acts 18, 1 through 3, I won't read through that for sake of time, but this is the account of how Aquila and Priscilla, who were Jews that had been basically kicked out of Rome, ended up meeting Paul in Corinth. And Paul arrived in Corinth about the same time, and it would seem like a coincidence, but it was a divine arrangement that those three people should come together and meet each other. They were tent makers. Paul was a tent maker. He was earning his way. And together they began to join forces for the gospel, and it was a tremendous union. And they did great things for God, but it was the circumstances that actually confirmed that to them. So in conclusion, be patient and wait until you hear God truly speaks. There have been too many people that have missed the will of God because they thought they heard God speak, but they had other things. They had other agenda in mind. And two examples that really come to mind is when Moses was up on the mountain, he was going to hear from God. He was talking to God. And so the people would hear what Moses had to say. Aaron was down on the ground, supposed to be taking care of things. The people got restless, got anxious. So did Aaron. He got afraid. So what did he do? He moved out. And he said, give me your gold. Just give me your gold. And he threw it in. He said he threw it in the fire, and out came this idol. But actually, he had a little craftsmanship working there and said, these are your gods. And the people danced and carried on, and it was a horrible thing that they, here's Moses in the presence of God actually hearing God, they're down there worshiping an idol, and because he felt he had to move. Same with King Saul, when Samuel had said, in 7 days I'm going to come and we'll offer a sacrifice and we'll inquire of the Lord. And meanwhile, the Philistine armies were rallying together. They were like a multitude, the scripture says. There was fear in the people's heart. They were trembling. And 7 days went past. Saul looked at his watch or his sundial, and he said, he's delaying. I got to do something. And so he called for the sacrifice. He offered, like a priest, the burnt offering. And just as soon as he did that, Samuel showed up. And Samuel said to him, what have you done? What have you done? And this is 1 Samuel 13, 11 through 14. And he said, I felt compelled. I felt compelled. Do you feel compelled? If something is compelling you, pushing you, saying you got to make a decision, you got to do this, you got to do that. Boy, that should be a signal to go, no, I don't. No, I don't. I need to stay still and hear the voice of the Lord and wait for the Lord. So we need to actually hear the voice of the Lord in everything we do. And I'll conclude with Psalm 62. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. So we've been designed to hear the Holy Spirit. We just need to be patient enough, get still enough, so we can hear his voice. Amen.
Thanks,